pleased as always to welcome Justin Adams to our program from CBS 4. And Justin, we'll get right to it. Kind of a national uprising on the college sports scene, the major college sports scene, over the last 24 hours. What with Nick Saban, the head coach at Alabama, singling out Texas A&M and Jackson State for criticism on the subject of name, image, and likeness. And, of course, the point he made was that players are being, quote-unquote, bought to attend those schools, basically accusing A&M in particular of buying an entire recruiting class. Obviously, there was retaliation in verbal form, particularly from Jimbo Fisher, the coach at Texas A&M today. What do you make of this back and forth?
You know, if you're ever going to win a campaign, because this is the first thing I heard, if you're ever going to win a campaign and you're at a fundraiser, make sure you underline that word, fundraiser.
That's where Saban spoke. Right.
Mm-hmm. You need to make sure you raise money. Again, he was at a fundraiser and he says this. What is he really trying to say? He says two things. One thing with Texas A&M and the other thing with Jackson State specifically, okay? The first thing with Texas A&M, that's the team that will be playing up against Alabama for the national championship for the next couple of years, because their fundraisers has already been able to get those NIL deals to make sure that the players that Alabama was trying to get, they are now on Texas A&M's roster. So what he's trying to say right there is for the fundraisers are, hey, you guys need to go in, either raise some money or give us some money, do something in order for us to get these high caliber players, pay them, right, in order for them to be at our university, right? It's a competition, right? And then the other thing, which is very interesting to say about Jackson State, right? Let's be honest, this probably is the first time that we ever talked about Jackson State on these airwaves. And the main reason why is because they got the number one recruit in Travis Hunter. And when Jackson State was able to get the number one recruit, it really was a disturbance within college football all the way around. And what Nick Saban is trying to say is this. If these young men are going to play at an FCS level, going to play with Deion Sanders, and we know what he brings to the game, right? We know what he brings overall, his persona, what he's done on the field, Hall of Famer, argument the best, you can make the argument the best cornerback ever. But also he's a man who understands black culture, if we want to be very honest with it. And a lot of his parents, like the parents, right, they're fans of Deion. And so the kids are also fans of Deion Sanders as well. So what he's saying is that we cannot lose these top recruits. If we're going to continue to win national championships, we cannot lose them to the Deion Sanders of the world. So what this really was is, A, it's raising money, and B, it's raising more awareness to everybody that we cannot lose these kids to the FCS level if we're going to continue to win national championships.
Whatever you think of Nick Saban, and the setting behind those remarks was certainly interesting, and I agree with the point you're making, but say what you will about Nick Saban, he never says anything that doesn't come with some degree of calculation. It's hard for me to believe that his remarks weren't intended to suggest that, although he didn't quite come out and say this, that A&M in particular has been doing this for the last few years and is, in effect, breaking the rules. Not that there seem to be any real rules, and I guess maybe that's part of his point, but it's hard for me to believe that those comments weren't calculated. And he's been forced to walk them back a little bit today, but he had to know before the words came out of his mouth exactly what the implications were in what he was saying.
Yeah, Sandy, it's always funny when someone throws the first punch. I mean, we've all seen this before, right? In life, someone goes and hits you and they said, oh, I'm sorry. Or they say, my bad, I apologize. I didn't mean to hit you. But the pain is still there. The shock of the punch is still there. The bruise is still on your body. That's exactly what he did. He threw the first punch at Texas A&M, at Jimbo Fisher, at Jackson State, and Deion Sanders. And now he's walking it back saying, oh, I apologize. I didn't mean to actually say that. Or that's not really what I meant. When that's exactly what he meant.
Yeah,
again,
exactly
in front of people at his fundraiser.
Right.
Everything gets calculated. And that's the main reason why, again, underlining the words, when both Deion Sanders and Jimbo Fisher both said in each article, one in an article with Deion Sanders, the other one verbally with Jimbo Fisher, that he both tried to call both of them and both declined the call. Again, this is very calculated, and he knows exactly what he's doing because he doesn't want to lose another national championship like he did against Georgia this year.
If you're the head coach at Colorado State, if you're the head coach at Wyoming, if you're the head coach at the University of Colorado, whose side do you take on this?
You take Colorado because, well, A, I'm a Buff. But the reality is they're on the same ship. They all are. I mean, either you figure out a way how to be able to produce NIL deals, to be able to become more competitive in your league, or you just be that team that is, honestly, I don't want to say you're intramurals, not like Dan Hawkins, right? This is the intramural brothers. But you're at a point where you're just there having a team to have a team. You're not there truly able to compete at the top of the conference. That's just the reality of it. If your goal is to win a national championship, then you have to do what the guys do at that level. You have to get those type of caliber of athletes. If you're going to compete for the Pac-12 or the Mountain West, then you need to get the top talent. But let's call it what it is. USC, they just got the Biletnikoff Award winner. Transfer from Pitt, now going to USC. Brendan Rice, he was just on your roster. Well, guess what? He's on USC right now. So if you're going to be a team like Colorado who is going to compete, you have to figure out a way how to go in, get those fundraisers, right? Go and talk to those boosters, raise the money, and be able to get those high-caliber athletes to your campus.
Before we let you run, we'll address the subject of the Broncos as they are going into their final month of off-season activities, culminated, of course, with the mandatory minicamp in roughly three and a half weeks. Assuming that the team they have now is basically the team they will at least be carrying into training camp, what is your assessment of where they sit right now? We've had some interesting back and forth with various network commentators, either saying that they like Denver a lot, expect them to have a good season. Russell Wilson will win in Denver because, let's face it, Russell Wilson has always won in Seattle, I guess except for last year. They've always been successful in Seattle. And then you have other commentators, Bucky Brooks of the NFL Network in particular, saying, I still look at their roster and I see the fourth best team in the AFC West. Again, where do you come down between those extremes? Or well, you know, are they two extremes?
Right. Well, they're not really two extremes, to be honest, because it's so razor thin in that division. I mean, right. You could honestly be the top team and, you know, have a great record at, you know, 12 and what, 5 and 13 and 4. Or you could be playing some really good football and find yourself at the bottom of the division at 9 and 8. I mean, it really is that razor thin. The thing for the Broncos this year is this. I believe there will be changes, A, on the offensive line. And I really hope that we don't look past that. You know, when you go and draft a guy, draft a center, anytime you do that, you're looking to make some changes. That's one of the reasons why last week I talked about, hey, I really like that pick because it means that we're not going to stay with the status quo. There will be some changes there, right? Quinn Meinert, you expect this guy to be able to play a lot this season, right? Graham Glasgow, will he go to center or will he stay at guard? There's going to be a lot of changes. Dalton Reisner, what's going to happen with you there, right? So that's one of the things I believe. There's going to be a huge change there, which is important for this team because for us to be successful, everything has to be based off that zone running scheme. Helps out your tight ends, helps out your wide receivers as well. You don't want Russ to be able to sit back there and have to throw the football 40 or 45 times in order for you to win a football game. On the opposite side, though, is still inside linebacker. And it's important to see what will happen there. And this is the main reason why, for me, Sandy, teams are going to try to run the football against the Broncos. Because if Russ is cooking, you want to make sure that the ball is not in his hand. And what's the best way that you take away the ball from an offense? You run the football. So your inside linebackers need to be able to be in the right spots, make the plays, not give up those big plays, but also make sure that they're in the right gaps as well so you're not gashed in the running game. So those are the two things I'm really going to keep an eye on for this team. And for me, I say they're not the best team and they're not the worst team, but they could find themselves definitely sitting at the second and third spot as we sit today.
Follow up on that just a little bit. Don't you need, no matter how often you're in nickel, no matter how often you're in dime, don't you need at least one inside linebacker who can get sideline to sideline? And isn't it true that the Broncos do not have that player at the moment?
Very true, which is the reason why when I didn't draft N'Kobe Dean, and he's right there, despite he's 5'11 and has a bum shoulder and he needs surgery and all these other different things, all I know is this. He played for Georgia this year, and it was clear who is that middle linebacker. Who is that guy who continues to make plays? And they didn't draft that guy. They didn't grab that guy. So unless if, you know, Josie Jewell gets a couple of, you know, points up on his 40 speed, he's able to be faster. Unless that happens, or there's somebody that surprises us in camp, the Broncos will go into the season without that guy at inside linebacker. And that's going to be a problem, especially when you're playing those nickel defenses.
Justin, our thanks. As always, Justin Adams from CBS4. It's always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate
Sandy,
it.
Sandy, thank you so much. And as always, remember, we are so glad to have you here, but don't leave us for Minnesota. Never want you to leave us in Minnesota, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Justin. Talk to you soon.